The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. My guest today is Ignacio Rivera, who will join me in a few minutes. The first time I saw Ignacio was in a really amazing, unique film called Trans Entities. And in it, Ignacio was talking about identity, about sexuality, about politics, about kink, about polyamory. And it struck me, wow, this person has so many different facets of their identity that cut across so many different communities. And then after I saw the film, I met Ignacio and began to see Ignacio presenting various workshops and presentations at different community events, different organizations, different conferences. And over the years have kind of watched as they've evolved. And so let me tell you a little bit about Ignacio. Ignacio Rivera identifies as a queer, two-spirit, polyamorous, kinky, Black Boricua. Ignacio is a descendant of colonized and uprooted Taino and African slaves. Ignacio's people are from Borinquen, also known as Puerto Rico. Ignacio, who prefers the gender-neutral pronoun they, is a lecturer, activist, sex worker, sex educator, filmmaker, and performance artist, sharing spoken word, one-person shows, and storytelling internationally. Ignacio's body of work has focused on gender and sexuality, specifically on queer, trans, kink, and sexual liberation issues within a race and class dynamic. Their written work has appeared in Color Lines, Ebony, Yellow Medicine Review, and The Ultimate Guide to Kink. As a lecturer-trainer, Ignacio has spoken at home and abroad on racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, transgendered issues, sexual liberation, anti-oppression, anti-violence, multi-issue organizing, and more. As a filmmaker, Ignacio has produced a short called Crossing, which is played in several film festivals internationally. Their second short, called They, which debuted at the New York City Mix Film Festival in October of 2008, is also an experimental short about Ignacio's gender fluidity and pronoun preference. Ignacio has just completed working on their third short entitled Transient. It's a video diary style experimental film about the consciousness of identity within travel. As a sex worker, Ignacio has worked as a dancer, a pro-dom, and is currently working in the adult film industry. They can be seen in their debut performance in Pink and White Productions' film In Search of the Wild Kingdom. You can also catch them, as I did, in Morty Diamond's film Trans Entities, The Nasty Love of Poppy and Will, Cheryl Dunye's new film Mommy is Coming, and Courtney Trouble's porn, Fuck Styles. Ignacio is the founder of Polly Patau Productions, which is dedicated to producing sex-positive workshops, performances, educational opportunities, and events that are especially geared towards queer women, transgender, multigender, genderqueer, gender nonconforming, and gender variant folks of color. Ignacio is from New York, but we are both in San Francisco for the Open SF Conference. So I'm thrilled to have them in the studio with me today. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Ignacio.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So we should start, well, at the beginning or in the middle somewhere.
The middle's always good.
Okay. Let's start with gender. Tell me about your gender.
Oh, that's so complex. I always tell the story when I perform and I say, I was heterosexual for many years, and then I was bisexual for about a month, and then I was a lesbian, then queer, then a dyke, then queer, then trans. So sexual orientation and gender all kind of like flow, and it's very fluid for me. And I've just really searched that part of me, just different aspects of me. Right now, I identify, and I like to say right now, I identify as queer, two-spirit. And under that, it's like under the trans umbrella, there's two-spirit, there's genderqueer, gender fluid. I usually say I'm a transformer. I'm more than meets the eye. Once you think you got me pegged, I'll fuck your mind up. So it's pretty fluid, and I like that. I don't like to be set. I don't like my gender to be set in stone, because I don't think gender is set in stone. For some people, it's really comfortable at one point, but for me, I just kind of navigate and flow through it. Two-spirit identity is more closely related to my Taino culture background. It's more about indigenous identity, and it has to do with both gender and sexual orientation. So two-spirit is an identity that I've been claiming most recently, and I'm really happy about and proud of, because that's a huge part of who I am culturally.
And what do you, I know you now, and I've known you for several years, so I see that you occupy this sort of fluid gender space. But what do you feel like people misunderstand about your gender?
I think because we have ideas about what a man is supposed to be and what a woman is supposed to be, and we don't see the gray area or the areas outside of that, people put me in these nice little boxes all the time. So when I tell people that I'm trans, and I know a lot of people being very respectful, you know, when I say I'm trans, they automatically go to he pronouns, and they treat me in a way that they think a man needs to be treated. You know, it's not like they're being fucked up, but they're subscribing to this rigid idea of what masculinity or man is. And half the time I'm saying, I don't even know what the hell masculinity or femininity is. I have no idea. You know, it's what society has kind of shaped. So it's mostly like people kind of deciding what I am, because it makes people very uncomfortable when they know about my fluidity, because I think it more reflects on them and what their connection to me says about them. When people are attracted to me, it really fucks them up, because it screws with what they know about their own sexuality. And I am attracted to a whole slew of people. Although I navigate towards trans guys and trans women and just, you know, gender fuckers, but I'm definitely attracted to a whole slew of folks. So I think who I am really pushes buttons for people and who they are. So that's usually the issue.
And I like that idea that you feel comfortable in your gender as it is, but it sort of raises anxieties for other people,
yes.
Right? It
yeah.
freaks other people out.
Yeah.
Because then they have to sort of question, wait, am I attracted to, who am I attracted to? What do I?
Right.
And do you feel a sense of belonging and support around you? Or do you ever feel a pressure to transition, to pick one or the other?
Yes.
To stay where they assigned you at birth, or to go and transition to be male, do you feel that pressure?
I think in the beginning I felt more pressure when I said that when I started saying I am trans, I asked people to use both she and he interchangeably. And when I say interchangeably, like in the same sentence, you know, like know how to do that. People had a really hard time doing that. So they always chose she. And so for 2 years, when I first came out, I decided that I was going to use male pronouns, he, I should say, because I felt like my trans identity was invisible. So I think that right there just showed how that kind of pushed me to use a pronoun that I really wasn't fully and wholly comfortable with because I wanted to be seen as trans. And then after those 2 years, I was like, you know, she doesn't sit well with me. He doesn't really sit well with me. And when I, you know, had a friend that used they, it was like the heavens opened up and I was like, this is my pronoun. I love it because it doesn't indicate anything. And that's also what makes people a little uncomfortable, you know, so it doesn't indicate shit about me. And I like that because it's always changing, you know, and not to say someone who identifies or uses he or she can't change either, because, of course, it's fluid. And I believe in that. But sometimes when I say I'm trans, you know, it's that whole thing. It's you don't look trans enough. What does that mean? You know, because I don't want to have surgery, and I've dabbled with the idea of testosterone, but it scares the shit out of me. So, you know, I have these constant conversations with myself and my chosen family around what does it mean to be trans, and do I need to do this? Sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, God, I hate my hips. I wish I didn't have hips for this particular outfit that I want to wear, you know, I'm starting to make a joke about my chest now. It's like my lovely lady lump. So they're just, you know, they're just showing a little too much right now. And I wish that they couldn't. So I wish that I could. I wish that sometimes my body was like Play-Doh, that I could mold it the way I wanted to for that day and always come back to it. You know, I just wish that could happen, but since I can't, but I think society definitely does pressure me into binding or not binding. You know, I bind sometimes, other times I don't. And when I don't, well, it's like a really big head fuck for me, because I'm like, do people see me? I look like a woman right now. No one's going to know that I'm trans, you know? And so I struggle with that, but I have to live within my own. I have to live within my own truth. And my truth is that I am fluid, and that sometimes I'm going to bind and it's going to look like I don't have tits. And other times you're going to see tits. And that's the nature of me. And I have to live my truth.
Okay. That was a lot to take in. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about what it's like to be a sex positive, kinky, queer person of color. More with Ignacio Rivera on Sex Out Loud when we return.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today, my guest is Ignacio Rivera. I do want to thank my fabulous sponsor, the Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everybody, specializing in high-quality sex toys and supplies. Check them out at smittenkittenonline.com and use coupon code TRISTAN for 20% off. Okay, so before the break, you were talking about speaking your truth, which is such a powerful concept. How is it that you walk in the world? What boosts you? What gives you the confidence to occupy that space, the space that makes other people uncomfortable, the space that confuses people, a space that may even make some people angry? What boosts you? What supports you?
Wow. I think that's probably the hardest question. I always say support comes, you know, from my chosen family. My chosen family is everything to me. You know, of course, I have the privilege of having my blood family around, but they don't get me and understand me fully. I think they think I'm a little crazy, but that's okay. But my chosen family really gets me, and I've surrounded myself with folks who, like, in the everyday world, you can't surround yourself by like-minded people or the people you want to be around. So I have a nice, safe little bubble of trans, queer, gender nonconforming, kinky, poly folks of color that I call my family, and we support and hold each other up. So they are most definitely my source of energy when I feel like I can't do this anymore, or fuck the binding, fuck everything, you know, fuck people not understanding me. We hold each other up. Yeah.
And what about your family of origin? So you are in touch with them.
Yes, yes.
And how did you come out to them? How did you talk to them about your gender identity? Because I'm thinking people at home are listening and saying, okay, but how can I possibly explain this to my aunt that I'm gender fluid?
With my family, things have been given in small doses. So, you know, years ago when I came out as, you know, a lesbian, actually I didn't come out. I was outed to my mom. But that was actually fine because it was a source of like starting this conversation. I don't think the one thing that my mother is clear about, or the several things that my mom or my dad are clear about, is that I am definitely not straight. And that I don't date just one person. The titles around that is irrelevant. You know, they don't have to know the words, you know, genderqueer or, you know, trans or, you know, whatever. Any of those words that we use in, you know, activist circle, artist circle, academia. They know that I'm not straight. I think they think I'm a little weird, but they love me nonetheless. They love me. They know I'm a good person. They know I'm a good parent, you know, and they are there for what matters to me. My mom, in terms of my gender, that was a little more difficult because I just didn't know how to talk to them about it, especially because I'm genderqueer and I'm fluid. So they see me in all aspects. So they see me, you know, when I decide to put those heels on and, you know, not bind. And then they see me binding. They never talk about it, but they see when I'm super masculine or super feminine. And they just accept it. Just that acceptance alone, I don't have to have a conversation with them. They just know it. And my short film, They, I interviewed my parents in it. And that was a huge turning point around my gender. Because in that film, my mother said, I could never call you Ignacio. That's your thing. That's for you to do. To me, you're going to be, you know, and she says my birth name and stuff. And I showed it to her afterwards. And it really hurt her to see that she was not being supportive to me. So we came to a medium. When I was growing up, they called me Bebe, which is baby. And the compromise that we came to was that they were going to call me Bebe from now on. They would not call me by my birth name. And that was huge. Like, that was totally huge to me. So, no, I can't have the political conversation with my parents or anything like that. But they support me in the ways that are just what I need from them.
Yeah, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
And I think just, again, they gave you that first name, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like parents are invested in that on some level.
Yes.
We named you that. How can you sort of turn your back on that name? So I think that's always been a point of contention for people who change their names, change their genders, whatever. But that's interesting that you could come to a different place with it. Now, one of the things you do is you facilitate workshops and you lectures and you do events for kinky and kinky curious, queer and trans people of color. And you've been doing it for over a decade. And I know that you host sex and BDSM play parties in New York for people of color. So tell me why it's important to create separate space for people of color in a sexual context.
Okay. I think it's highly important. I mean, let me just take it back. When I first came out as poly, right? This was a word that was not being used a lot. It was a fairly new kind of term, and it was seen as a white term.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you think that still holds true, that polyamory is a white person thing?
I think a lot of people still do think that, that it is a white term. And I wanted to find people just like me, and I wanted to find other people of color like me. Every play party I went to, every poly meeting I went to was, I would have to say, probably 98% white, or at least 100% white, or 99.9% except for me, you know? And I was like, this can't be true. I know that there are people doing this. So I started digging deep and, you know, asking people different questions and using different language to find community. And I found that there was a whole shitload of people of color who were doing the same things, but probably not calling it the same. And the spaces that have been out there were not being were not accessible to people of color. And the reason was that those spaces were void of a political framework, in my opinion, in terms of the racism and classism that a lot of the people of color experience on a daily basis. People were expected to leave like, hey, we're all people. We're all human beings. We just want to have fun. For a lot of us, that's bullshit. It's like when we all are people, but we experience different things, and that we have to be really cognizant of that, especially when we go to spaces where they're having slave auctions and they're having a white person comes up to a black person and say, can I flog you? Can I whip you? These are racialized things. And to say that they're not racial and that we're just being people being kinky in my eyes and a lot of other people's eyes is bullshit. And so those things can happen. Yeah, we can have slave auctions. Yeah, a white person can whip and flog another person. But I think there had to be a different kind of context prior to that happening. You know, we had to, there had to be some sort of discussion around this, and also people of color understanding their right to negotiate and create boundaries and how all this works. You know, we don't know this. We come into it and we have to figure this all out. So that's where I started Shades of Poly years ago under the Poly Patao Productions, doing workshops for people of color, queer people of color, who wanted to know more about polyamory, non-monogamy, creeping, being excessively, you know, single, all these words I use to try to find people that were out there doing that.
Let's have some of the language, because I thought it was interesting that you said there was almost a language barrier that people of color don't identify with polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me some of the words, some of the terms.
I used excessively single, non-monogamous, freaky, creeping, cheater. I even use cheater because I think that people out there wanted to be polyamorous but didn't know how to do it properly. So some people just cheated, you know, because they knew that they were attracted to other people and they knew they loved this person they were with, but they ended up cheating because it was just in their nature to want to experience something with another person. So I grabbed all those people up and this is where we started the groups. And for the first 3 to 4 years of when I started doing play parties, they were POC only. Now they're multiracial. And I felt like I needed to do that because I needed to create or try and help to create a safer space for queer and trans people of color to explore these things that they have been doing by themselves or in secret or, you know, or shameful of, and create spaces where, yeah, we're all talking about this. We can do this. We can do this honestly and openly. And then I open it up to be multiracial. And I like using that terminology, multiracial, because a lot of parties are like, this is for everyone. What does that mean? What is it for everyone mean? That's not true when you end up going and you might be the only trans person there or you might be the only person of color. I like being very specific about these things. And it's like, I want a multiracial space so that when people of color see my party invite, you know, invites, they know that race is an important factor to me. And they're not going to be the only brown or black person in that space and feel uncomfortable. You know, I mean, there could be other things they could feel uncomfortable about, but not that.
Right. So, you know, you brought this up, the idea of the master slave, the slave auction. You know, master and slave are kind of a staple of the BDSM mm-hmm. community. It's one of the most popular role plays, identities, scenes, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And so as a person of color, how do you feel about this master slave dynamic?
I think I love kink because it is what it is. It's kink and we explore really fucked up taboo things that are just fantastic. But within that, I think we also have to have a context in which we're actually talking about real world shit because we can't ignore these things. It's parallel to how a feminist, you know, women have ideas, these fantasies of rape and how horrible it is for these, you know, fantastically like active feminist women to admit that they want to get raped by a fucking man. You know, it's like
in their fantasy, consensually.
You know, it's difficult for them mm-hmm. to say that out loud, even yeah. because they know how they stand in the real world, and they know that they don't want that real, you know, to happen in real life. So I think, but we have to have these conversations, right? And so when that feminist woman finds that right guy, you better be damn sure she's going to have a good conversation with this person and create the boundaries that she needs to feel safe within that kink. Mm-hmm. I think people of color need to do the same thing, or those people of color who need to do that need to do the same things to create that space that they can allow themselves to soar in these taboos. And I've had a master-slave relationship, but it was with another person of color. That was very, very different from the idea of having a white person be my master. Like, right. That would fuck my head up. I couldn't do that.
Okay, we're going to take another break and pause for a word from our fantastic sponsors, including WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Go to we-vibe.com to find out all about it. Coming up, we're going to talk more with Ignacio Rivera about non-monogamy, polyamory, kink, taboos. So stay with us.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code Sex Out Loud for 25% off your order.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Terramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
We're back with more Sex Out Loud. My guest today is lecturer, activist, sex worker, sex educator, filmmaker, performance artist, very busy person, Ignacio Rivera. Now, we've talked a bunch. I've heard you say safe space, safer space a few times. And so, you know, what do you want for those of us who are white and who want to be allies and who want to do outreach to communities of color, who want to be inclusive of people of color in our work, in our workshops, in our organizations, in our events? What do you want white allies to know? What do you wish they did better or at all?
Well, first, I think that I don't think that it angers me when people of color and poor people are an afterthought, because it's cool to be inclusive. And sometimes that word just pisses me off. You know, let's include. It still puts you in a hierarchical framework that I am above, and let's bring these other people in because it's going to make us look a little better. We're going to look, you know, multi whatever the hell it's going to be. So that pisses me off. But if in reality you do, an organization or group knows that it is beneficial, that it is just right, that it is, you know, what needs to happen to have different folks involved in the groups or the events that happen, I think it starts with self. You know, it's about why do you want people of color there? Is it to boost up your organizational look, or is it because, you know, this is what needs to happen? You need fresh blood. You need people's ideas. Are they going to be in leadership roles, or are they just going to be people you take pictures of so that you can show, hey, there are 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, there are 5 black people in this picture. It must be multiracial. You know, I think it's about people. Are people personally involved with other people of color? Do you know what issues arise? I think a lot of people don't know of what the issue may be, if any at all. You know, most people say, well, people of color just don't come. They just don't. They don't want to be involved.
I think you hear that a lot.
Oh, all
they,
the time.
You know, like we're open.
Yeah.
They just don't show up.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't show up because we don't see ourselves reflected in the photography, in the literature, the speakers that are coming to speak, and the music that is played. You know, when you go to events, it's always the same music. It's never any kind of diversity of music, you know, pictures that are hung. Like, it's even the little things, language used when doing promotional stuff, you know, it's just such a whole slew of things that can happen. And even one of those things could really change how people search things out. Because when I was looking for stuff, when I didn't know anything, I was looking for those keywords, you know, what does this mean? If I didn't see those words, to me, it was automatically white. And I was pretty much right all the time when I've gone. And there came a point where I had to say, fuck it, I need to be around other poly kinky people. So let me go check these things out. And then eventually I just started my own shit, which I think a lot of people who are frustrated, you know, end up doing, starting their own stuff. And the fucked up thing is that when we start our own thing, then people say, oh, they're separatist or they're doing separate. Why is this happening? And it's like, no, I'm not separating. I think I'm forming a community to build so we can be stronger and so that we can support one another in going into what is now created as the mainstream, you know, which equals whiteness. It's about being strong. Just as we have women's spaces, we have POC spaces, we have spaces for different groups of people because we want to form community with people who have similar experiences.
And do you also think that sometimes the class discussion isn't happening as well? I mean, I feel like we can't talk about race without talking about class. And so some of these events are exclusionary simply because of class. Yes. And then we end up excluding people of color as a result.
Yeah. And class is like, you know, that point where it includes lots of people of color, but also includes white folks who are poor as well. So yeah, the class issue is always an interesting one too for these events. And as a person who does events, I know that it can be difficult with getting space and getting it at a cheap price. And there are creative ways of getting, you know, scholarships and getting people who have more to pay more. I know that there are work shifts, but there are some groups that have ridiculous work shifts that people end up working the entire event.
I have to say, I'm totally with you. It's like you're going to work in exchange for the event, but we're going to make you work 30 hours exactly. From Friday night to Sunday afternoon. That doesn't seem
so
fair.
There has to be some sort of balance. I think there are tons of creative ways to get folks, you know, like I've gone to events where it was like income based. For me, that worked because, you know, poor, and I was able to pay the minimal, and there were people who had good, you know, money, and they ended up paying a lot more. So they helped me bring me to this event.
Like a sliding scale.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think those things are good. There are lots of different ways.
Okay, I want to shift gears a little bit because you recently had a starring role in independent filmmaker Cheryl Dunye's latest film, Mommy is Coming. You play a very pivotal role. I don't want to give too much away, but you romance both a mother and daughter at first unknowingly. And it's, you know, this is how it's described on the website. It's set in the international creative melting pot, Berlin. A raunchy romantic comedy of errors confronts the last lesbian taboo, mommy. A take on screwball romantic comedies and porn topped off with Dunye's ingenious form of storytelling. And one reviewer called it a burlesque of mistaken identities and see-through disguises filled with double entendres that begin with the film's title and feed on Andy Warhol, John Waters, and Bruce LaBruce. That was a good. What was it like to make this film? I mean, is it your debut in terms of being the star of a film?
Yeah, it was. It was amazing, I have to say. So Cheryl is like on top of her fucking game and work. Like when we got there, we had 2 weeks to do this entire film and we worked pretty much from morning till night. We got this whole entire film done in 2 weeks. It was intense. It was grueling, but it was a really eye-opening experience. And after I did it, I was like, I could do this. I would actually love to act. I would love to do it. I've done performance art, but never like in this context, you know. I love Berlin, so it was fantastic to be there. The entire cast was totally international, like people from everywhere, you know, from people from Berlin, from France, from the States, from I can't even remember right now, but it was like all over. People talking there were like 5 or 6 different languages being spoken on set all the time. It was fast paced. It was the first time that there was like, I had a full like makeup team and wardrobe and all of that.
Quite a mustache. Yeah. I'm assuming there were a few mustaches.
Yes.
There wasn't just the one.
The right one, because the very first one, I was kind of upset because it was so huge. I said, I looked like a Latino Burt Reynolds. It was just horrible. And they had to cut it and, you know, shape it and stuff. So, it was interesting.
Well, it's meant to be a little bit funny. It's not meant to look realistic.
That's true.
So The first thing I saw in this film, because I saw an early cut of it, was one of your sex scenes with Maggie Tappert, mm-hmm. who is an American who lives in Switzerland, and she plays the mommy, and Mommy's yeah. Coming. And it was so hot.
I love that scene.
It's incredibly hot. And I just want to know, what is it like for you as a sex performer to have sex with a different person who maybe you literally just met? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is that like?
You know, I guess, okay and natural for me. I don't know, because I see it as I'm meeting this person. We have a few, you know, moments to talk, and it's about negotiating, you know. And in this particular instance, you know, it was a film with a specific thing. Like, Cheryl wanted, you know, hand sex and, you know, ejaculation to happen and stuff. So we had to negotiate around how that was going to look. But for the most part, it's like, this is what I like. What do you like? What don't you want to happen? And it's just clear for me. Like, and if something goes not right, then people can verbalize that. And if they want something more, they could also verbalize that. I'm just, you know, I'm just down with the talk to me, baby. Let's do this.
But I really had a sense of chemistry between you two.
Oh, yeah, we did. Okay, she's hot.
There's also an age difference, quite an age difference. Yeah. And so the idea of this eroticization of an older woman, which we so rarely see in mainstream media, I thought was also fantastic. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like you can sort of spark that chemistry with anyone? Or was there something going on there that I
would say that I can spark it with most people, not all, but there was something there. While we were there, we talked a lot. I think she was amazing. She's just a really wonderful person, and her energy is so welcoming. So I felt right at home just hanging with her and stuff. And when it was time, we sat down, we talked, and she was like, so she was a little nervous, and she was like, I haven't ejaculated in a really, really long time, so I don't know if it's going to happen. And I was like, don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, let's just relax. Let's not even think about it. And we did the scene and she totally ejaculated. You know, it was awesome.
Was that in the script?
Yes.
Did Cheryl say you would be ejaculating?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yes.
That's great. Okay. That's a good story. We're going to take another break. But first, I just want to give a shout out to another one of my sponsors, Astroglide. Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Get a free sample. Find out how by visiting astroglide.com. Stay with us. More Sex Out Loud with our guest, Ignacio Rivera, is coming up.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
We're back talking to Ignacio Rivera about, some simple, light topics like race, class, gender, sex, and community. We're just tackling the fluffy, light stuff here today, people. Yeah. Now, a lot of your work as an educator and activist is geared towards queer people, transgender, multigender, genderqueer, gender nonconforming, gender variant folks of color. The majority of leaders, educators, and activists within polyamorous and non-monogamous communities are white, which, like kinky communities, might lead one to conclude that these alternative relationship styles are more prevalent among white people. Do you think that's true?
I think it's more visible. And I think that has to do a lot with privilege and the privilege of being out. You know, I'm a person of color, but I'm definitely have a privilege of being out as a poly kinky person. I think there are a lot of folks of color who are doing this in their own way, in their own language. And I think folks who have, honed in or marketed off of this have been visibly white folks. And I think it's been a huge separation of this. I think this is why a lot of times people of color have seen this life or lifestyle as, or using the word polyamorous alone as a white thing. But I do not think that white people are more evolved or more, smarter or, you know, doing relationships better. People of color, I think that we navigate things differently, and that I think there's definitely a middle ground there, a medium that to share ideas and to share resources. And but also, I think, like I said, a huge part of it is about privileges of being out like that in terms of work, in terms of community. It can be really difficult to share that piece of you.
And do you think it's harder for people of color to come out in their communities about being non-monogamous and being consensually non-monogamous? People often say that queer people of color have a harder time coming out within their communities because there is such a strong religious background, right? And there's like all this stuff about religion and God and church. And so it's much, much harder to come out as queer. Do you think that also affects people of color coming out as non-monogamous?
I think it could. I mean, because again, this is like, it's a big blanket statement for all people of color. You know, for some, yeah, I think that is a truth right there, that it's because of religious, you know, their religious background or their upbringing that can be a big part of it. But not necessarily. I think we try to think of answers that are really simple, and sometimes it's just complex and multi-layered, you know.
And so we're both here at the Open SF conference in San Francisco. And you presented one of the keynotes with Yesenia Lewis, where you talked about navigating multiple identities within a polyamorous framework. I'm wondering if you'll share a little bit about the talk that you gave and this idea of all the multiplicity that you embody and that so many people, I think, at this conference embody, and where all those intersections happen and how we navigate them.
I think it was important. Like, the talk was definitely important to us as, you know, queer, trans-identified people of color, and our positions within polyamory and kink, how we've lived it and having these multiple identities, how it can be challenging. It's just not a simple thing to say, well, I'm a person of color, I'm trans, I'm this, I'm that, because all of these things have different ways of, you have different ways of negotiating each of these identities. And at times within a large framework as like polyamory or this institution of polyamory now that it has become, there's a specific way in which to navigate that. And a lot of our identities are left out. So we wanted to frame the conversation or the lecture as this sharing of our own stories and sharing just basic things that polyamorous people in general go through navigating polyamory. But then also on top of that, throwing out the multifaceted issues that come around when you throw gender, race, class into it and complicating it. I think we are afraid of this complication. We want things to be simple. And as a genderqueer person, you know, a person who lives within or outside this gray area, shit is complicated. And we have to understand that it's not going to be this cute little cookie cutter fucking model. It's going to be something that we just have to talk about. And sometimes things are just case by case. You know, it's not this one nice tied up bow. So we were having conversation with each other using poetry, using also our complex styles of, or I shouldn't say our multiple styles of communicating to the audience by using poetry and conversation and lecture style. So it was...
See, I thought that was another interesting thing is that it's such a different format.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a traditional keynote.
Right. And that's what we wanted to show. We're not traditional.
Okay. I think you knew that. I don't know. Do you ever think back and say to yourself, I wish when I was 18 or 19 or whenever some of this stuff was coming up for you, I wish I knew, you know, what do you know now that you wish your little baby genderqueer person knew?
Oh, I know what. I wish I would have known to speak up for myself, to negotiate and set boundaries. Yeah. That's what I wish the most. And that's the thing that I talk about a lot now as an educator. I probably would not have engaged in a lot of the things that I did if I knew that I had the agency and the right to do what I wanted to, and that there wasn't a specific model for me to engage within that context. You know, living as a woman, living as a trans person, like what people expect from you, sometimes we end up doing. And I think if I would have learned that early on, I probably would have avoided a lot of fucked up situations. Yeah.
So asserting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Sense of assertion. Okay. Well, I want to close with really your own words. I want to close by listening to a part of your presentation from the Open SF conference.
It was this person I met. You know, I hear her subconscious words ringing in my head like that song. Lie to me. I promise I'll believe. But I'll believe more easily the idea that you would rather want me to tell you the absolute truth. But the truth would not set me free here in this predicament of lies told consciously to appease your insecurities of what love is supposed to be. The truth lies in my sealed lips. They are chapped and cracked. I need lubrication so that I won't fuck you raw with the truth. Unable to handle my words, my revolutionary terms of sex, of love, of play. I am that ethical slut that likes to fuck, spread my thighs wide, I clamp your fingers inside me. I am that ethical slut who wants your love but don't want to be shoved into that box called monogamy. Polyamory is what I want surrounding me, compounding me. I am that ethical slut who wants their freedom, who wants to be free to come whenever I need to, hun bum, because you want to contain me, put a chain around me and sustain me. I am that ethical slut, but you don't care. You just be ignoring me, saying, that's cool. I like a boy who knows what they want. But then you end up hating me to saying I'm deflating these blown up fantasies of what you want us to be. I hear your subconscious words ringing in my head like that song. Lie to me. I promise I'll believe this. I'm not a cheat. I'm honest, and I repeat, I am that ethical slut. Poly, bato, puto, and proud. Shit. Don't be mad because you can't get with this.
That was Ignacio Rivera giving one of the keynote speeches at the Open SF Conference in San Francisco. Thanks for being on Sex Out Loud, Ignacio.
Thank you for having me. This was great. I love you, Tristan.
Thank you. Ignacio Rivera identifies as a queer, two-spirit, polyamorous, kinky, Black Boricua. Ignacio is a lecturer, activist, sex worker, sex educator, filmmaker, and performance artist. Ignacio's body of work has focused on gender and sexuality, specifically on queer, trans, kink, and sexual liberation issues within a race and class dynamic. Ignacio's written work appears in multiple publications, and most recently in my anthology from Cleus Press, The Ultimate Guide to Kink, BDSM, Roleplay, and the Erotic Edge, where Ignacio wrote the chapter on age play. You can find out more about Ignacio at Polypatao Productions, PolyPatao Productions.com, and follow Ignacio on Twitter at Ignacio_Rivera. Tune in next week when my guest will be the founder of Feministing.com, feminist author, speaker, activist, and media pundit, Jessica Valenti. We'll be talking about the documentary based on her book, The Purity Myth, Sexual Double Standards, The New War on Women's Reproductive Rights, and The State of Feminism in 2012. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to VoiceAmerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.